Welcome to Authors on Tour Live, a podcast for people who love to hear about books from the authors themselves.
We're visiting with author J. Gordon Powell, and his book is entitled Marriage of the Lamb. Hello, Mr. Powell.
How are you today?
Doing great. Thank you very much. So tell me about Marriage of the Lamb. Tell me about the theme of the book, the overall theme.
The theme of the book is to show people that there's going to be a rapture, and this rapture is going to be to a real marriage of the church to Jesus. Most people think that's only symbolic, but it's going to be very real. And in preparation for rapture, there's going to be a revival, and I think the people are going to have to begin realizing they've got to establish a marriage relationship with Jesus rather than just having some Christian ethics and morality standpoint.
Now, you describe yourself as a teaching prophet, or at least you say you were born to be a teaching prophet. What do you mean by that?
Well, I feel like that I get inspirations from God to understand things that I seem to realize that other people haven't heard about. And I'm not a prophet as defined in the scriptures, but I still feel like that God has called me to reveal things to the church they need to know in preparation for rapture.
You're obviously taking a position that Bible scriptures from Genesis to Revelation recommend a marriage covenant relationship between God and human beings instead of being a textbook for teaching ethics and morality as is normally taught. So what happened to cause you to take this position?
Well, when I was still in high school, I was teaching a Bible study class, and that class was based on teaching literature that's provided weekly by my church. So to better prepare myself to teach, I decided to read through the New Testament, make a list of everything that Jesus commanded. And when I did that, I was surprised. There just wasn't anything there except to love God and to love humans. So the New Testament, I realized, is obviously not a textbook of ethics and morality.
What about the Old Testament that is often referred to as the law?
Yeah, I learned that virtually all the statutes, ordinances, and commandments that are listed in just the first five books of the Old Testament. And, of course, that's collectively known as the Torah.
Well, isn't the Torah itself known as the law?
Yeah, but law is not really a good description. The definition of Torah is the will of God revealed to man. So to express his will, God ordered statutes and ordinances as instructions for the Levites to govern his theocracy. And regarding commandments, there are really only two. The first is to love God, that's found in Exodus. The second is to love other humans, and that's found in Leviticus.
Mr. Powell, talk to me about the Ten Commandments, if you will. What exactly are the Ten Commandments, according to you?
Okay, most people think that there are Ten Commandments. Of course, I just mentioned that there really are two. The Ten Commandments are not really commandments. They're marriage covenant vows, and God called them testimony. They were vows made to God by Israel as they entered marriage covenant with God. These words were etched into stone covenant monuments, which were then placed in the Ark of the Covenant. God referred to the stones as tablets of testimony, recording the marriage covenant vows Israel made to God.
So in the book, do you make the case that God is, in essence, married to Israel?
Yes, but you remember, this is a spiritual marriage. Many times in that part of the Old Testament called the prophets, God refers to Israel as his adulterous wife. And in the book of Exodus, God actually describes the wedding ceremony.
Now the church does not recognize Israel as the wife of God. Well, why is that? Why do you think the church won't do that?
It really doesn't fit the things that the church leaders want to teach about the Bible. So they teach that Israel being the wife of God is only symbolic. And this plays on into the New Testament because church leaders also teach that New Testament scriptures and Ephesians and Revelations concerning marriage of Jesus and the church are also only symbolic.
All right, so this marriage between Christ and the church is kind of intriguing. In your book, Marriage of the Lamb, we're talking about a real marriage here, right?
Yes, we're talking about a real marriage, not just a symbolic marriage.
So is there a reason you think it's important to believe that Christ will actually marry the church?
Yes. If you don't believe that, there's really not any reason to have a rapture. You know, we're talking about rapture, but if there's not going to be a marriage, there's not going to be a reason for a rapture.
Why not?
Well, the rapture is the process of Christ snatching his bride from earth to take her to the wedding.
Oh, well, that's kind of a fascinating thought, a wedding of Christ to a mass of Christians calling themselves the church. Tell me about how you think the marriage ceremony might be conducted if it were to actually happen.
Well, there are some scriptures that play through and tell you what's going to happen at that marriage. The ceremony is going to feature the blood of Jesus. Jesus shed that blood during his crucifixion, of course, to redeem humans. And from scriptures in Hebrews, I know that Jesus gathered his shed blood into a container, and he took that container to God's throne in heaven. I also know that he placed that container at God's altar in heaven. And then from the story in Exodus of God's marriage ceremony to Israel, it is obvious that Jesus will stand on or by the altar in heaven, while members of the church will stand in front of that altar. And whoever conducts the ceremony will dip something in the container and sprinkle half of that blood on Jesus in the altar. Then they'll sprinkle the other half of the blood on the church gathered in front of the altar. And that'll be the highlight of the ceremony.
I'm curious as to how you came up with this procession. Who taught you this?
As I was reading through the Bible, the Holy Spirit just began showing me these things. It's actually in the Bible. It's just I started becoming aware of it.
So in the book, you say Christians who are caught up in rapture will go to the ceremony. What else should they know about the ceremony?
Well, there's a lot of people that think they're going to this ceremony that are going to be left behind when that trumpet calls, which is calling the bride to meet Jesus in the air.
What do you think will be their problems?
They're going to be violating the spiritual betrothal covenant vows. They made a vow to Jesus that they were going to be faithful as his waiting bride, and they're violating those vows.
Do they know they're doing this?
Many don't have a clue about that. They love and worship Jesus, so they think everything is all right, but they're actually committing spiritual adultery with God's pagan religion.
So basically you're saying they've been deceived? How could they be so deceived?
Well, they're deceived about teachings about Christian holidays. That great falling away that was prophesied earlier in the Bible occurred when pagan religious clerics of Rome were forced by Emperor Constantine to switch the national religion of Rome from paganism to Christianity. And Christianity today is based on Constantine's compromise instead of the original first century Christianity.
So you do not believe that they really switched?
I know they didn't. They did worship. They added worship of Jesus through Christian sacraments, communion, and baptism. And that's good. The bride should be doing that. And they are doing that. But to convince the pagan Christians to the pagan citizens to convert to Christianity, they preserve the weekly form and pagan lecture on ethics and morality. They preserve the pagan worship basilica by calling it a Christian church building. And they preserve pagan fertility festivals by calling them Christian holidays.
We are speaking with author J. Gordon Powell, and his book is called Marriage of the Lamb. Let's continue with that theme, Mr. Powell. How does the merger of paganism and Christianity deceive Christians about rapture?
Well, actually, there are two problems, two major issues. First of all, to preserve their pagan fertility festivals, they had to get rid of the annual covenant marriage festivals that were being rehearsed as God had commanded, all of them except Pentecost. And second, because now the church leadership endorses those pagan fertility festivals, church members do not realize they're worshiping pagan gods in Christian holiday services.
Well, if you don't mind me exploring these two issues a little further, what do you mean by covenant marriage rehearsals? What are they?
Well, there are actually six of those rehearsals. There are three in the spring. Those have already been fulfilled. There are three in the fall that are yet to be fulfilled. The spring marriage festivals actually rehearsed engagement of Jesus to the church. And then they were fulfilled when Jesus came to the earth. The fall festivals are going to rehearse the marriage itself. And the first marriage event of the fall is a rapture, and that one should be observed by observing the Feast of Trumpets. That will be the next rehearsal event to be fulfilled. I cover all this in my book, Marriage of the Lamb.
All right, and the second issue, let me ask you this. If a Christian loves and worships Jesus, how serious is it for him or her to participate in holiday rituals featuring pagan gods?
Actually, this is a real serious subject. These are the very same pagan gods that Ahab and Jezebel worshipped. The people of Israel tried to worship Elijah's God Jehovah and the pagan gods of Ahab and Jezebel at the same time. Elijah called the Israelites together at Mount Carmel for a confrontation between Jehovah and the pagan gods of Ahab and Jezebel. In 1 Kings 18, verse 21, Elijah told the people that they must choose between Jehovah and the pagan gods, because God does not tolerate effort to split worship between both. That verse tells me that Christians who have entered betrothal covenant with Jesus will be left behind at rapture if they've been committing spiritual adultery with pagan gods.
Well, which brings up the question, will these Christians be warned to repent before rapture?
Scriptures speak of a pre-rapture revival. What I see happening in the world today, it just makes me feel like that rapture is going to occur within a few months. I believe that I've been inspired to release this book, Marriage of the Lamb, right now at this time, in this period of time, to be part of what God is doing to warn His church to repent and prepare for rapture.
Mr. Powell, these are fairly complicated religious issues. I'm wondering how long it took you to do your research, to work through these issues, and to put them down on a word processor or on paper.
Well, it developed through a long period of time as I would be reading, but also because I've toured almost all of the world. And when you're in churches in places like Istanbul and you begin seeing the things that Constantine did to change Christianity and starts raising questions, it's just a process that occurred over a long period of time, and I started recording these in my mind and on paper. But it's a long time developing.
It sounds like the revelations might have been fairly intense for you. Were there one or two instances as you were doing research for the book where you said, oh my goodness, I can't believe this. I need to get this down on paper. I need to take notes here.
You know, you're exactly right. I would be just doing regular writing sometimes late in the evenings, and I start getting these revelations, and as God would tell me things, I would do just what you said. I would just think, God, how in the world has the world not seen this before? You know, this is astounding. This is fantastic. And it didn't happen just once or twice. It happened many times.
Looking forward to seeing the book, Marriage of the Lamb. Mr. Powell, how do we get a hold of it?
Well, they can get a hold of the book by accessing my website, www.JubileeRaptureMessenger.com.
Or through Ex Libris, correct?
To all through Ex Libris.
And that would be exlibris.com. Mr. Powell, we wish you a lot of luck with the book. Once again, it's entitled Marriage of the Lamb.
Thank you very much.